Hi there, and welcome once again to this podcast on location with Martin Jorgensen. This is your host, Martin Jorgensen, speaking, and today I'm outside shooting. I have ventured to a local spring forest, and the reason that I call this a spring forest is that it's a particularly beautiful forest in the spring, and I plan on shooting some spring impressions. But in order not to just do another flowers in the forest podcast, I intend to do this differently. This is going to be shot at lowest aperture in every picture, meaning that I'm going to use my f2.8 lenses at f2.8, my 1.8 at 1.8, and so on. So no cheating, only the aperture priority, and only shot at the lowest possible aperture. The whole idea with shooting at lowest aperture is to get a very shallow depth of field and to get these beautifully blurred out of focus areas that you can obtain by opening your aperture. And as I'm looking around now in the forest here, I'm already seeing subjects that I might want to shoot. Small white flowers in the forest bed, and lots of buds on the trees, small leaves and everything. This is in the middle of April, so things are slowly starting to emerge here in Denmark. And today is a particularly beautiful sunny day, and there should be lots of options to shoot some blurred spring. The way that you control the aperture on your camera is by setting the program dial to A for aperture priority, and after that you just roll the wheel in connection with the shutter until you get the lowest possible aperture. That's in my case, I have an 85mm f1.8 on my D200, and I have another camera, the D40, which has a 17-55 f2.8, meaning that these will be the lowest apertures that I can shoot, and that's what I will do. I also brought my usual Sigma 10-20, and I intend to do the same thing with that when I get the need for that. But as you might know, using low apertures on wide-angle lenses doesn't have the same effect as it does on telephoto lenses. So the longer the lens you use, the more significant the effect of the shallow depth of field and the blurred backgrounds. Getting a blurred background with a 10mm will mean that you have to focus very close and have some distant subjects, or vice versa, while getting shallow depth of field with a telephoto lens just means that you have to shoot almost anything, because both the foreground and the background will be blurred almost no matter what distance you use. If you focus on the horizon or things which are pretty far away, you get a larger or deeper depth of field, while zooming in or going close will mean that you get a more shallow depth of field and get more blurred items in your pictures. But we'll just fool around and see where this leads us. And as I said, I have the forest bed full of flowers here, and I have trees, and I have buds and leaves and everything. So I'll see what I can find and just talk you through my moves here. I have now been on my hands and knees for a while, shooting in the very low vegetation here on the on the floor of the forest. It's full of small flowers, purple, yellow, white flowers in the 1-3 inch size, and that means that you really have to get down. It's a constant crawling on your hands and knees and getting up again and finding good angles and good views of these very small flowers. One thing that you notice when you start shooting with these small items in a shallow depth of field is, of course, that you need to be very precise with your focus. A bunch of flowers, which might be an inch across, will only have one or two flowers in focus, while the rest will be unsharp. And another thing that you notice is that the background is really significant here. The way that you compose your background, the way that you make sure that no items that you don't want are there, and that you have the things that you want. You might want flowers in the background. You might it isolated on a green background. You might want a stick or something that just kind of pokes into the picture, and you have to shift and move around constantly to get the right picture. The out-of-focus areas are actually just as important as the in-focus areas. Of course, people's eyes will immediately fly to the area that's in focus and look at that, but the out-of-focus areas are often dominating in the picture, meaning that they occupy most of the surface of the picture, and they really participate in a very significant manner to what the impression of the picture is. And if the out-of-focus areas are really blurred and really nice and soft and smooth, they really do a lot for the picture. Of course, if you're photographing flowers like these, you are almost on your hands and knees all the time, and an angle finder can be a really nice little gadget to have. The angle finder means that you can hold your camera low and look down into it instead of being with your cheek on the ground. In the case of this muddy and wet forest bottom, it's not really nice to be all that low, and just holding down the camera and looking into the angle finder can be quite nice. Another option is just to take your chance, hold your camera low, point it at whatever subject you need to take pictures of, and just press the shutter. That technique is usually very good for wide-angle pictures and for pictures with the high apertures where you have a lot of depth of field, but when you need to really focus very meticulously on one single item, it's not really good because you never know where your focus is. So you have to be careful with that shooting in the blind. But you can have luck and by chance get a really nice picture by just holding your camera low or literally putting it on the ground and just pressing the shutter. The forest that I'm in is kind of a wild forest, meaning that it's not really wild, it's not like a jungle or anything like that, but it's definitely a forest that's just left alone. The trees are allowed to fall and grow where they want to, and that means that you have a lot of old trunks and a lot of small trees budding up through the undergrowth, and really a nice looking forest. Let me just get a picture of this place. It's also got a lot of old trees with ivy growing on them, and it's definitely a nice place for photography and for animals. I can imagine insects later on in the season would be very abundant here, and as you can hear in the background, a lot of birds. I heard the woodpecker before, and It's a great forest. It's a perfect forest for photography. You can find texture, you can find flowers, you can find all kinds of things. But you can also find a lot of trees to stumble over and wet holes to step in, and definitely a lot of branches to get tangled in. So in that respect, it's also a bit rough. But I mean, I've been walking like 10 minutes or 15 minutes into the forest now, and it's not that rough. I mean, it's not like you have to cut your way through, but definitely a perfect place to take pictures. And I found a lot of subjects, the ivory on the old trees, the budding, the budding leaves on all the branches here, and of course all the flowers, thousands of, and thousands of flowers in the undergrowth, just perfect for photography. And the weather is beautiful, sunny. You can get pictures with the sun in your back, and you can get pictures with the sun against you. Get the transparency of the leaves and the flowers, the petals on the flowers, and you can get almost an endless variation of light. So it's absolutely a great place to take pictures. And at this time of year, you can still look through the forest because the branches are not full of leaves yet. So you can also get kind of a vista of the whole thing. It's a great place. Absolutely nice. I'm just shooting a bit here to give you an impression of the place that I'm standing in. Even though this should be shot at f/8 or 11 to get you a sharp version of the world, it's still shot at f/2.8 and f/1.4. Or sorry, 1.8. Well, wishful thinking there. That means that it will be not perfectly sharp from one end to another, but it will give you an impression of the place, definitely. I'm going to walk on here and see if I can find some tree trunks and some of this ivory on the trunks and more flowers. The flowers are just kind of four different species, and if I find some that are really interesting in the way they're arranged or the way they're growing, I'm going to concentrate on them again. But if not, I probably covered them pretty well right now. But there's always a combination that's more interesting than the one you just shot. So as you walk through the forest, you constantly use your eyes to find new combinations of things, and that's what I intend to do now. Been shooting with the telephoto lenses, meaning the 85mm 1.8 and my 17-55 f/2.8, both at full open, of course. But now I've changed to a real wide angle. This is the Sigma 10-20, and that can be shot at f/4 as the smallest aperture, and I'm going to set it on manual focus because it has a tendency to want to focus on the distance here, because it just sees so much, and it definitely won't focus very close unless I really take care. So the easiest way is actually to put it on manual focus and then just point at whatever you want to take pictures of, move the camera until it's in focus, and press the shutter. The beauty about this extreme wide angle is that you can get the flower very close up. The closest focusing range is about 0.8 inches, or about like 20. No, that's 0.8 feet, of course, and about 24 centimeters. And that means that you can get really close, even at full open. If you stop it down a bit, you can get even closer because the depth of field will increase. But since this is a mission where we shoot full open, I won't do that, but I'll make do with the 24 centimeters. And that means that I can just fire away in the beginning here, just leaning down and pressing the shutter at random. And later on, I'm going to try to get my eyes down there, which is quite a chore because it's pretty low. And then I'll see if I can get more control of what I'm doing, because right now I have no idea what will happen. In most cases, I'm just shooting at random, but I'm chimping now and then just to make sure that it's actually closing in and shooting the very very close subjects, and that works nicely. So, on manual focus and then use the eyes. We'll see what that leads to. With the Sigma 10-20 on manual focus, I have now shot a few shots where I've held the camera all the way to the ground, meaning that I've been below the flowers and been looking into the sky. And that's been, as far as I can see on the display, really given me some stunning effects, really fantastic frog perspective of this forest. It's amazingly beautiful when seen in that angle. This is so low that I can't even get my head down there. And of course, I'm just shooting at random here and taking my chances. My last stint here at this full open shooting session in the forest is going to be with my 200 millimeter, that's a 70-200. Again, the same rule applies. I will shoot it at f2.8 only, and probably also use my teleconverter, which is a 1.7 factor teleconverter, meaning that I will up the lowest aperture to about 4 or something. Same rule again, full open all the way through. That will give me some extreme options to isolate items, and the 70-200 actually has quite a good close distance, so I can get pretty close to things, and with the extender I can probably get some magnifications which will really isolate the subjects on the background. It also gives me the option to shoot in eye height, meaning that I can shoot more through the forest, which has been a problem here with the 85 millimeter and 17-55, because I can't get close enough. In order to get really close and get branches and stuff out of the way, I would probably need a real macro. My dog just made a funny jump. He's looking for mice in the forest. If you can imagine an Arctic fox or something to look at, his ears will go all the way forward and he will make these small jumps that clearly indicate he's heard a mouse in the vegetation, but he never catches them, he just jumps on them. Quite a entertaining, if you ask me. Well, another story, that one. As I said, I'll change to my 70-200 and get some telephoto, really extreme telephoto shots, at least when it comes to flower photography and budding trees and leaves. Of course, the 200 and the 300 and something that you get with the 1.7 extender is not really extreme telephoto. Anyhow, I'll play with that and get some shots with that. The 70-200 did exactly what I expected. Gave me really good options of isolating subjects and getting a real blurred background. And also, as you might be able to hear in the background here, they started cutting trees, even though I did announce that this was an almost wild forest. Well, it isn't in that respect. There are paths in here, and of course they do remove trees that are across the paths. So they started running an engine here in the background and saw down things. So, well, so much for the wild, so much for nature. There's always an engine running somewhere, isn't there? Well, I think I'm about done here. I need to go back and do some work. This has been a really nice break, and I'm really pleased to have you with me, in a virtual way, of course. I'm sure you have a forest somewhere nearby yourself where you can go. You can go to a park, you can go almost anywhere and find the light and the sun and the flowers and the budding trees and have some fun with your lenses. And if you do like I do and force yourself to shoot at full open, you get some challenges, but you also get some pretty nice results. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting back to the computer and looking at what I have on my memory cards. So I'll do that and prepare a slideshow as usual, as you have seen it so many times before. And of course, be there for you in the forums if you want to suggest something, comment on this podcast, or ask a question or anything. And You can do that in the podcast feedback forum on the Nikonian site. You can also drop me an email at the address on location at nikonians.org. Well, that's it for now. I'll say goodbye and wish you a good day, and remind you to go out there and take pictures. And then I'll see you next time, which will be in Florida. In my case, I'm traveling to Florida in just a couple of days, and the next podcast will be recorded there. So take care, and goodbye.